Stand with me, if you will, Luke chapter 15. We're going to read from verse 11 through verse 18, a very familiar story. We'll use it as a springboard into the sermon. Luke 15:11 says, "And he said, certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followeth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, this is your book. And Father, this is your lesson. This is your message. Get glory to thyself in it. Might we all realize that it's to be taken personally. You didn't bring us here to casually observe the service tonight. You brought us here to speak to our hearts. May we not be concerned how this sermon affects everybody else, but may we be concerned of how it's to affect us as individuals. Bless us tonight with that touch from heaven, and that touch only that makes a service lasting and eternal, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. The last verse there that we read says, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." This is a very famous story. If you've been in church for long, you've heard the story about the prodigal son. I'm going to repeat a little bit of it. I want you to look right at me and listen real, real carefully. A man had two sons. One rebelliously and unwisely decided to leave home. He demanded from his father the inheritance that would have eventually been his father's. And then he left. He took the inheritance and he left. He journeyed a long way from home. When he arrived at this distant place where he ended up, he took that money that his father had given him and he wasted it. A famine came to that land. He found himself in an even poorer situation. He finds himself at a farmer's piece of land on a farmer's property. They had let him live in the barn, basically. The Bible says he was eating the corn husks. Now you understand, that's not the corn. That's the husk on the outside of the corn. In other words, he was being allowed to eat the leftovers. I think, if I understand it properly, the pigs ate first. Then if there was anything left, they said, you may eat what's left. And that's the situation he found himself in. Well, it didn't take long. He began to look at his life, and he said, what a mess I've made. He said, I'm sure supper time rolled around one night, and all the pigs had eaten, and he was looking through whatever was left, and he thought back to home. He said, you know what? I can hear the dinner bell ringing and everybody coming in and out of the field. And Mom's been making fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, and big old blob of butter on top. Apple pie. And he thought, at home, there's plenty to eat. Here I am. And he humbled himself and he said, I'm going to go home. I am going to go home. Now, when he got home, they were pleased. They were excited to see him. They even had a homecoming party, which there wasn't anything wrong with that at all. But I'll tell you, the guy went through a lot of suffering. And I want you to think about it. And I realize you say, well, you know, he asked for it. You know, folks, we all end up in a mess and because of things that we did and we suffer. His suffering, in this case, was to a degree self-inflicted suffering. And I want you all to understand something. God cares about you. When it's self-inflicted suffering, God cares about you when it's inflicted otherwise. Mrs. Owens has a little policy, and I just love this. When she hears sirens going off, she immediately prays for someone. And somebody somewhere is hurting. And I remember once, maybe it was one of our children, said, well, Mom, wonder if it was somebody that they were drinking and driving, and they were out drunk, and they hit a tree. She said, but honey, they're suffering. Self-inflicted suffering, you know, you still hurt. You still have pain. We're not condoning the drinking and the driving, but we are saying somebody needs to care about people. Do you know a major portion of the suffering that all of us go through is self-inflicted?
Yes, sir.
I mean, it is sin that brought it on. You'd like to say it was everybody else's sin that brought on your suffering, but I hate to tell you, you brought on your fair share. Mm-hmm. This guy went through some tough times. I want you to think about some of the pain and some of the grief and some of the suffering that he faced. He's been away from his dad. Suffering. He's been away from his mom. He's suffering. He left home. He's suffering. He left a brother behind. He was suffering. He had left his home area. There was a suffering that went on. He had wasted his substance. In other words, what money had been given to him, he wasted it. And you might say, well, that was stupid of him. Well, I guess that could be said to all of us. Anybody here ever used money unwisely? Well, wasted his substance. And there was some suffering because of it. Then that righteous living, so you know that's not righteous living. Righteous living would be doing right. Righteous means it was like out rioting. It was a loud, belligerent party life. Now, he says, sounds like he was having fun. Well, everything I've discovered about the party life ends up causing you to suffer. You'll suffer because of it. The Bible says he spent all. Now, probably there's nobody in this room that's ever been totally destitute. The Bible says it was all gone. He spent all. When the Bible says all, it means it. Then a famine came in the land. Now, there was mental suffering because of a bad decision made. No food. Now, we all understand that. Now, none of us are starving, but I'll tell you what, when my tummy's a-grumbling, it's ready to go. This man had no food. He was eating the leftovers from the hogs. He's suffering. And there's that part of his suffering was, Brother Daniel, help that guy get a seat right there in the back. You can just get him a chair and he can sit right in the back and everybody look right this way. Look, knowing that everybody at home had plenty and he had none, then the Bible says twice when he's going through this process, he said he was not worthy to be called a son. You know what that means? He was humiliated. He knew he was wrong. He knew he had let his mom and dad down. And he said, I don't deserve to go home. I don't deserve for them to do anything for me. I don't deserve for them to accept me. There's a suffering, a loneliness there. And picture this. Not only had he spent everything he had in his pocket, he spent his future. That was his future. His parents were still alive. That was going to be his inheritance after they were gone. Now, he spent his entire future. Not just his now money. He spent his future money. Now, I'm going to guess this guy has some emotional turmoil going on. I'm going to guess there's some real heavy-duty suffering going on here. If you've never lived in the barn and ate the leftovers of the pig and had nothing today and nothing for tomorrow and total humiliation, knowing that you did that, that's suffering. The result. It says in verse 18, he says, I will arise and go to my father. He comes to himself, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He went home. So he gets right with God, which, by the way, it brought joy to his parents. He's reunited with his family. So you know, the Bible actually uses the words, he came to himself. Sometimes we need to come to ourselves. You know, that means we face ourselves. This guy, he stopped blaming and looking at circumstances and everybody else, and he said, you know, I'm in this mess, and I need to look at me. I need to get me fixed up, and I need to get something done with me. You know, he goes home. And then the Bible said they had a time of celebration when he came home. Folks, I want to talk to you about how our hurts can help us. There was a lot of hurt in this story, but I think there's a lot of ways that that hurt then could help this young man and the people around him. And I'm not talking tonight about just self-inflicted hurts. I'm talking about all hurts. Sometimes there are hurts that we bring upon ourselves. Sometimes life brings hurts upon us. So I want to tell you about how you can get help with it. You know, let's take, for instance, the death of a loved one brings a lot of pain. It's not been that long ago that Mrs. Judy Steed transferred to heaven. She passed and went to heaven. You know, that hurt. That hurt. That was a very, very heartbreaking time. Oh, we were glad she got to go to heaven, but we didn't want to lose her down here. That brought hurt. The pain of disease. There are in our midst cancer survivors. There's a lot of pain that goes along with disease. Suffering. Suffering from the death of a loved one. Suffering from illness. Suffering from a broken heart. A child can break your heart. A mate can break your heart. There's an old saying, I enjoy athletics, I enjoy sports. And when I used to coach, we used to quote, no pain, no gain. You know that we use that in athletics, but let me tell you, in the Christian life, no pain, no gain. Suffering is a part of it. But wait, is this suffering just all about the suffering? Is the pain all about the pain? Is the heartache all about the heartache? Is the pressure just all about the pressure? Is the distress just all about the distress? Oh no, not at all. Our hurts can help. Let me show you how. Number one, our hurts may cause someone to get saved. Our hurts may help someone to get saved. Paul suffered great hurt, but Paul's hurt helped others to be saved. Let me read the verse to you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. That is the Apostle Paul speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And he's saying here that I have been through a lot. He said, but it has caused the furtherance of the gospel. What's the gospel? That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what saves people. God is using Paul here to say, Paul said, I've been beat up a lot, but as a result of it, the gospel has gotten to some people who wouldn't normally have received it. He even talks about, there were times that Paul went into jail, and as a result of it, the gospel got to the magistrates, who he would have never been able to reach had he not gotten put in jail. I'm glad Paul's got that attitude, by the way. That'll keep you sane in a very insane world. God may use your hurt to bring salvation to someone else. Brother Steve, I remember how devastated your family was when Mama passed. But wait, there were people that got saved because of that pain. You remember the day we had the service right here in this auditorium, and we talked about, she liked those Milky Ways. And we gave some Milky Way candy bars to everybody, and you know what happened that day? There were people all across this auditorium. We had a packed house the day of her funeral, and I gave a salvation invitation, because that's what Judy wanted me to do, and as a result of that hurt, and that pain, and our tears, and our loss, a bunch of people got saved. What is that? A hurt that helped. The hurt's not all just about the hurt. The pain's not all just about the pain. Your pain may soften the heart of some lost person. And as a result of it, they may get saved. I'm going to read a couple verses to you. Did you know that Paul was saved really as the result of the pain of a man by the name of Stephen. Acts 8, verse 1 through 4, says, and Saul, that's Paul's name before he got saved, it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. That time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Here's what happened. Stephen was being stoned. This is a good man in the church. He's being stoned. The apostle Paul is watching this man get stoned. It's not long after Paul gets born again. I believe Paul watched Stephen die, and Paul said, I've never seen a man die with such grace and dignity. He has something I need. I happen to believe the pain of Stephen probably catapulted the salvation of Saul, which led to the evangelizing of the world. The pain of someone's death probably turned the world upside down for Christ. Pain is not all about the pain. There's something in it that God can get out of it. The death of a loved one brings pain. But you know, sometimes our hurts soften even our hearts. You know something? What I'm saying to you is, our pain may cause somebody to get saved. But look, sometimes our pain softens our heart, so we get interested in the lost. You ever go through a really tough time and God starts dealing with your heart? It may cause you to get your eyes off yourself and you begin to say, God, what do you want from me? And God may speak to your heart and say, I want you to start being concerned about other people and other people getting saved. That means your pain softened your heart. Now you become concerned about the souls of men. So you got to working on a bus route. You started up showing up for soul winning. You started passing out tracts, which means your pain produced salvations. And I've got news for you. It'd be worth every bit of pain that you and I suffered for someone to get born again.
Right.
Because the pain that you and I would suffer in this life is nothing compared to them going to hell.
Right.
Nothing. Nothing. Hey, is God trying to get your pain to turn you into a soul winner? Maybe that's why some of that pain's there. Maybe God wants that transformed into productive pain. But our hurts may cause someone to get saved. Number two, our hurts could cause someone to become a conqueror. A conqueror. Listen to the scripture. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Listen to the result. You hear all that? Tribulation? I don't like tribulation. Distress? I'm not real fond of distress. Persecution? I hate that stuff. Famine, nakedness, not enough clothes, peril, the sword, somebody's trying to kill you. None of those things are attractive to me at all. There's suffering going on right there. But listen to the result. Nay, and all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Yeah.
Pain, handled properly, becomes productive, and it may just help us to become conquerors. Help us to become victorious. And by the way, not just conquerors, more than conquerors. There are conquerors in life, and there are those that are cut above. More than conquerors. These are the conquerors with a doctor's degree. These are the conquerors that have the 5-star general stars on their hat or on their sleeve or wherever they put those stars or their socks or wherever they go. I'll tell you this, folks. The toughest Christians I know are the ones who have suffered most. I've watched a lot of people go through a lot of things in the years, and again, I'm just telling you, the conquerors are not, they're not the softies. They're tough people. They've been through something. Look, you can either let your hardship make you into something better. You can let it break you down. That's up to you. But we can triumph because of our hurts, according to 2 Corinthians 2:14. We're to have triumph over those things. Hey, I asked this question. Hey, Daniel, what made you so tough? I think the lion's den really added to Daniel's toughness. If you don't believe me, we'll see how tough you are before we throw you into the lion's den. And then if you make it through it, I'll promise you, you'll have an element of courage on the other end that you never had on this end. And, of course, we wouldn't want to be thrown in again to have that proven. But hey, I asked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hey, what made you the conqueror you are? I think they say, we went through the burning fiery furnace. Folks, would Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego become famous had they not suffered? No. Well, where would be the bragging rights? Why would we heed their example? Why would we talk about Daniel if he did not face the lion's den? Joseph, false accusation came upon him. He got thrown in jail. But Joseph hung in there. Joseph kept serving. You know what? Joseph proved that what they were hurting him with, that was not indicative of what he really was. But at the same time, I'm telling you, had Joseph not suffered, Joseph would not be the man that we exalt. We like to name our children after Joseph. Our boys. Noah. What made Noah what he was? A flood. There's a lot of good things about Noah, but what really made Noah what he was, he made it through that flood. Now folks, our hurts can cause us to become conquerors. And so you understand that's exactly what God expects of you. God did not bring the hurt to hurt. The hurt is allowed that we might be developed because of it. Somebody could get saved because of it. Somebody, either you or somebody else, can become a conqueror, a victorious person in life. I wonder, I don't know what you face. I don't know what the biggest thing in your life you face right now is, but I wonder if that was the whole reason God put you on this earth, to face that and then to show us how we're to make it by watching you. I wonder if that's the whole reason you were created. I wonder if the pain that you face and the uphill challenge that you face is the very reason God said, I'm going to do that in that life right there. So that'll be one of the primary reasons they're in this life. Let's see how she does. Let's see how he does. Let's see if they set a good example and they show everybody that you can be a conqueror with that one thing. If you're not careful, you'll take that one thing and let it destroy you. Hey, that was the one thing that was supposed to make you. I'm so glad that Daniel didn't blow it in the lion's den. I am so glad that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego didn't, put their tail between their legs and run. They stepped up and they conquered. And when they conquered, it might have been the very reason God allowed them to have a life. Matter of fact, if you take a good long look at the scripture, sure seems like that's why God put them in this life. We're still talking about it today. May I say to everybody here, your hurt may be one of the reasons God put you in this life. Now, let your hurt help. Let it help you. Let it help others. Thirdly, our hurts can produce joy. Our hurts can produce joy. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, very popular verse. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Reaping joy is prerequisited by tears. You can only get reaping joy by way of sowing tears. There's a certain kind of joy you can't get unless you have a broken heart. If nothing else, the end of the pain will make you happy.
That's what I did.
Did you know that the hotter the day, the more refreshing the air conditioning?
Yes, sir.
I don't enjoy suffering, and I really don't want to do a bunch of it, but I can tell you this, you go through enough of it, you sure do enjoy the reprieve when you're not suffering. Surviving hurt will help you to enjoy sometimes the simplest things in life. You take somebody here that has survived a terrible disease, cancer, leukemia, you take somebody like that, that kind of person, and they suffered like they have. They can put a bite of food in their mouth and say, it's just nice to taste this. It's just nice to taste this. My wife and I have been going through some battles, and somebody gave us a mattress. And it was a very, very nice mattress. I mean, it's a beautiful mattress. I have to tell you, I don't remember for many, many years in our life us ever discussing the comfort of our mattress. But we had just been through a war, a battle. And one night we were laying there in bed, and we both said, this is a nice mattress. This is comfortable. Hey, thank God for this mattress. You go through enough, you'll learn how to appreciate some of the simplest things in life. There's some people that miss it. They miss it. Sometimes just the quiet. It's the meal. I try to help people no matter what their circumstance. And there was a woman, and her boyfriend used to come here, but I tried to help her a little bit. And she'd been in jail for a long, long time. And I remember she'd gotten out of jail, and she had her first meal out of jail. And I mean, she'd been there like 7 years, and she had her first meal. She said, I can't, she said, I forgot how good a piece of fresh bread tastes. She said, that one piece of bread was so good. And I thought, the suffering has created a joy and simplicity in her life. And folks, I think sometimes, you know, labor, a lady that goes into labor to have a baby, that's suffering. The birth of that child, that's joy. Jesus' crucifixion and death produced resurrection joy. Without the crucifixion, without the death, there would have been no resurrection joy. So may I say, I think some of you that have suffered a lot enjoy the reprieve. So get up. And the truth is, you may be enjoying some life that you would have never enjoyed had you not suffered. Sometimes people that have a very even keel in life, I'm not sure they enjoy life. If you've been through some valleys, you sure can enjoy those mountaintops. So, our hurts could cause someone to get saved. Our hurts could cause or help someone, including ourselves, to become conquerors. Our hurts can produce a certain joy in life. Let me tell you this. I think our hurts can make us and others wise. There's a benefit in hurt. We can become wise. I'll read to you from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2 through 4. It says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, for the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Here the Bible says people that go through tough times then can develop wisdom in their life. God gives them a certain wisdom in their life. I think there's a wisdom that comes in life through hardship. And the only way to get it is through hardship. You take, for instance, you lose someone that you love. I promise you, there's somebody that you love, and you have your spiritual thinking cap on when you lose them, when they die. I will promise you, you will become wiser in life as a result of the death of your loved one. There's some, you'll lose a loved one, you'll walk away from it, and you say, I just lost one. I've got a list of things in my heart that I will do for the ones that are living before I lose them too. There's a wisdom that will come. The death of a loved one can make you wiser. You'll learn to love people while they're alive. Your heartache may make, I'll tell you this, your heartaches help me become wiser. You say, how so? Well, when you have heartaches and then you come to me and you say, preacher, how do I get through this? Now, I need to develop the answer. Your heartaches can make me wiser as I advise you, but wait a minute. If they make me wiser, why don't they make you wiser? Heartaches, hardship, and suffering, the Bible says, can give us wisdom. I believe, you know something, all the suffering that the prodigal son went through, I think there's someone we sometimes forget in this story. That was his brother. He had a brother that stayed home. I'll guarantee you, his brother watched everything that went on. When that prodigal was out there wasting money and misbehaving and doing everything, I think a brother at home that was looking at all that saying, wow, I want to be careful of that. And I am not going to talk to Dad that way. And when Dad says it's not a good idea to take the inheritance and go spend it on some fancy car and some, you know, $500 tennis shoes, I think I'm going to listen to my dad because I see what my brother went through. And all the suffering that he went through, his brother learned from it. I believe that suffering can cause all of us to be wiser. Now, folks, don't waste it. Let's say you live right now in a self-inflicted, financial, heavy, terrible burden. Become wiser. Look at what caused it. Look at how you got there. And then wisen up. Matter of fact, if you don't, you'll be a fool. And I'm not calling you a fool. You're going to be a fool if you go through it, and then you won't study it, so you don't go back through it again. That makes you a fool. You had the chance to become wise. You need to let your burdens wisen you up. You know, catastrophic events ought to happen maybe once in a given area. You doing the same stupid thing again, you're borderline idiot to God. You're really taking your chances. Because you go through a catastrophic event and you brought it on, God will say, you know what, I'll see you through this because you didn't do very well. You turn around and do the same stupid thing again, I think God goes, what are you thinking? I brought you through it once. You just about destroyed yourself the first time. Why are you doing that again? Look, become wise in your self-inflicted suffering. Let me give you another two real quick and I'm done. I think our hurts can produce personal righteousness. Hebrews 12:11 says, now no chastening for the present time seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Look, when you're suffering, take a look at yourself and see if there's something about you that ought to be changed. Here it talks about suffering producing a righteousness. Suffering can help purify us. You go through a lot of hard times, take a good long look at those hard times and say to yourself, is there something about me that needs to be purified or that needs fixed up? This suffering has maybe brought some things to surface. So let's make sure that we become more righteous because of our suffering. You see, our suffering or our hurts can help us. Somebody might get saved because of our hurts. It might be that someone, including ourselves, we might become conquerors because of our hurts. It could be that it'll produce joy. It could make us wise. It could help us to develop righteousness. Let me give you one last point. It'll take me 2 minutes and I'll be done. I really believe that God allows some suffering to shut the devil up. To shut the devil up. You say, how so? Well, this morning in Sunday school, we talked about Job some. The Bible says in Job 1:8, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth? And here's what happened. The devil goes after Job. And the devil said, God, you're protecting Job. I don't think Job will love you and stay loyal to you if you didn't protect him like that. And God said, all right, I won't let you kill him, but go ahead. Do as you will. Well, God believed in Job. Do you know what I think happened? The devil came after Job, and as we learned in Sunday school, he lost his business. He lost his children. He lost his health. He lost the loyalty of his wife. He lost all that. And Job said, he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job struggled later on because he got a little arrogant about making it through the trial. But while he was going through the trial, he kept his eyes on the Lord. He said, look, I didn't have anything going into this thing. Now I don't have anything coming out of it. That's okay. I just love God. Folks, I believe that God the Father, when Job was going through that, and he didn't turn on God, I think God, like a proud daddy, was in heaven going, that's my boy. He just hung in there. The devil came to me and said, I'll tear him up. I'll get him to deny you. And God said, I don't think so. That's my boy. Job went through it. And at the end of it, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And I really do think God said, yep, yeah, I knew you would make it. I have a question for you. God got any bragging rights with you? If the devil comes and say, I'm gonna get all over her. I'm gonna attack him. I'm gonna attack her. And God said, you know what? They can take it. They're not gonna turn on me. They're not gonna end up worse because of it. They're gonna end up better because of it. I wonder if God defended you. I wonder if the devil came and said, I'm gonna do something to them. I'm gonna make him suffer. I'm gonna make her suffer. And God said, you know what? Even if you do make them suffer, they're not gonna turn on me and they're gonna stay with me. And so it's happening. You're going through the tough time. You're facing the hardship. I wonder if God is going to be able to say to the devil, I told you. I told you he loved me. I told you she loved me. I told you they wouldn't quit church. I told you they wouldn't back out. I told you they wouldn't back down. I told you they wouldn't allow themselves to be put on a shelf and never used again. I told you they would make it through that hell that you were going to put them through. I told you they could do it. I hope God is able to stick his finger in the devil's face over whatever you're facing and say, see, I told you she was a better Christian than what you... I told you she wouldn't get bitter and she wouldn't get angry. I told you she wouldn't be a vengeful, hateful Christian. I told you she would make it through this. Or is devil going mad? Or is God right now looking and saying, oh my, I bragged on you and I told the devil you can handle it. You're not doing your part. Let your hurts help you. Your hurt's not all about the hurt. Far more to it than that. There's a way that what we go through can help us and help other people. Let's give God some bragging rights on his kids. Whatever you're facing, let's do it in such a way that God can look at the devil and say, told you. Told you. Now, it's okay for God to brag like that. You don't need to go around bragging on your side. God wants to lift you up, you let God do it. You don't have to say, bring it on. Come on, devil. I have a really dumb thing to say. You don't want to do that because he will.
That's right.
You'll find yourself in the backfield fighting by yourself, and the Lord's saying, you sucker, you idiot. What are you doing? Pick the fight with the wrong person. But God ought to be able to say to the devil, he or she's going to serve me, and well. And they're not going to go down because of this. They're going to go up. That's how it ought to be. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved tonight, I recommend you get born again because salvation is essential to take those hurts and turn them into helps. May I say to every born again Christian here, some of you, you've got to understand these hurts are not there to destroy you. They're not there to ruin you. The hurts are there to grow you and to help you and to help other people. Whether it's self-inflicted or life-inflicted, there's helps. There are things that can be helped because of our hurts. I hope that you'll take a thought away with you tonight and realize that God is doing something in your life, even if you have a burden. Who here tonight would say that the Lord spoke into my heart somewhere in the service tonight, God has given me something I need. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Lots of hands. God bless you. If you need a moment at the altar, don't be afraid to come. Whether you're a child, a teenager, an adult, if you need to be saved, you come and let me know. We'll help you. get saved. But if you need the altar, I want you to feel free to come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads.